Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
It's been a busy week here on the Fantasy Points Podcast. I hope you guys have been enjoying everything that we've been putting out with Scott Barrett and Johnny Proctor and Graham Barfield and Scott Barrett and Adam Harstead. There's a lot of Scott Barrett here on the Fantasy Points Podcast, but not today. Today, it's the free agent boys. It's Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, and I hope you guys are having a great time as we talk about the continuing series of Tom's betting previews here on the Fantasy Points Podcast. It is wonderful to be with you here on Thursday, August 6th, and I want to throw out a disclaimer here. We're recording this just before 11 a.m. on Thursday, August 6th, Eastern time. So today is the NFL's opt-out deadline. I don't think anybody's really expecting any big surprises, but there is a chance that within the next 5 hours, something big happens. A star player decides to opt out. I know Tre'Davious White of the Bills has said he hasn't made up his mind yet. So just throwing that out there that we are recording this at earlier than the deadline. And I'm going to tell you why we're recording it earlier in the deadline, because Tom Brawley and I want to watch the PGA Championship. So we'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, we're getting this done before Tiger gets on the tee here at 11:30 our time. So, you know, we got to pack this in here quick.
Yeah, yes, we do. So we're doing that right now. It's good to be with you this morning, Tom. How you doing? What's the last week been like for you?
Oh, I'm just smart. I'm a closet Penguins fan, and the playoffs started again here. So I guess I have to start putting on my black and gold, and they're disappointing me again. So I've had better days, but the PGA Championship, I'm excited for that. And we're excited to see, you know, how we're starting to get more and more news coming out here from camps. Finally getting some guys out in the field, and feels like football season is starting to get here.
Yeah, so I mean, I got to be honest. Again, we've used the term "whistling past the graveyard" so much on this podcast, but it feels good to get mad about sports again. Like, yeah. I'm going off, just absolutely freaking out about Brett Brown, the Sixers head coach. I'm freaking out about the Phillies bullpen, which is atrocious, by the way. It is so freaking bad.
It can't be any worse than the Pirates bullpen.
Oh, try me. Aaron Nola strikes out 12 guys in 6 innings last night, and then Tommy Hunter comes in, gives up 2 runs, and leaves the bases loaded without getting an out. How's that?
Oh, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Yeah, the Pirates, I just saw they lost Nick. Not that I've been following them too closely, because I knew they were going to be very bad this year, but I saw, like, their best guy, Nick Birdie, or one of their best guys, is now done for the season. They have like 6 guys that are like not even playing this year. So, I guess the Phillies are contending for the worst bullpen. It's certainly
it's
up for grabs.
It is so bad. Oh my goodness, Tom. It is awful. Well, here's the deal. I did have Nick Birdie on my fantasy baseball team, but I guess they're going to activate COVID Keela here soon. Yeah, they said whoever the manager is for the Pirates said he's going to be the closer, so at least I still have him.
Derek Shelton, I actually know that one.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say Clint, but no, it's not Clint. But anyway, so let me remind people what we've been doing up at FantasyPoints.com. I am Well, let me turn my notifications off on my computer so they don't make a lot of noise. We're doing, Tom, I've dubbed this Strategy Week, and we kicked it off with John Hansen's draft plan on Monday. And then since then, you and I have been doing kind of our values, players to target, mostly just players to target. And we also have about 25 players that we want to avoid this year. That's going to go up this week. So make sure you get in at fantasypoints.com. You have to be a subscriber, either standard or premium, to read this content. But we promise you it is worth the money. We have the best prices in the entire industry. So go to fantasypoints.com/subscribe and you'll be able to get all that content. Now, if you want Tom's betting previews, you're going to have to get in to the premium package. Tom's betting previews are available for free all the way through the month of July, but we went behind the paywall in August. So we're giving you just a little bit of a taste of those on the podcast. So I just wanted to remind everybody, fantasypoints.com, we're going to have auction content next week. Everything is to be gearing up for your fantasy drafts right now. So please, please get in on the ground floor. The response has been great. I understand a lot of people are just tuned out right now. I mean, it's hard not to be, but we're trying to be as tuned in as possible and get you guys ready for your fantasy drafts, Tom. And that means I also have to tell you about Deal Dash. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? Well, it's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Well, here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. It's like an auction for fantasy. Like, you love that thrill when the clock is winding down and you're like, am I going to get this player for a value? Well, it's just like that up at DealDash.com. If you go ahead and buy now, Deal Dash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon signup on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code FPP for Fantasy Points Podcast or DealDash.fm/FPP. That's DealDash.fm/FPP. All right, Tom, what we need to do here now is get into some news, as we've been doing on the top of the podcast here the last number of weeks. By the way, Tom and I have been doing all these betting previews. I think that this is our fifth week sixth week, Joe.
We just have the Easts left after this one. So, we're flying here. So, go back and check out the other ones if, you know, one of your favorite teams is in, you know, the West divisions, the South divisions, or the other North. They're cataloged here. I guess we've had this podcast here for a lot longer than we thought, Joe.
It seems like we've been stuck in this COVID hell forever, and yet these 6 weeks have gone by really quick. So
yeah, August, once it gets to like July, August, it starts going a lot faster for us. We're ramping up our work here. So it has moved slower, for most of the year, but now it's starting to pick back up.
Well, Tom, you noted at the top of the podcast that we're getting like kind of more news from training camps, and we had a piece of news that really perked the ears up of the fantasy football community yesterday when Bucks coach Bruce Arians kind of said, you know, Ronald Jones is going to be our lead running back. He's going to be the guy, and everyone else is going to be competing for a role behind him. As a matter of fact, he said, "quote He is the main guy." I believe he told this in a Zoom with reporters, but this is the official website that's reporting that. So the main guy, Ronald Jones. Here's my question for you, Tom. What does that mean? Because they didn't trust him as a receiver or a pass protector last year. That's why Dare Ogunbowale played on third downs. At the goal line and in short yardage, Peyton Barber played. I might be burying the lead here by not mentioning yet that they signed LeSean McCoy. Keyshawn Vaughn is on the COVID reserve list. Don't want to speculate on how long he's going to be on there, but Tom, this is now a crowded backfield. And my question to you is, How excited can you actually get about Ronald Jones?
I can't get very excited about any of these packs. I mean, I've taken some Ronald Jones in the eighth, ninth round. I'm just hoping that he gets to be the goal line back. That's all you're kind of looking for here. You're looking for the LeGarrette Blount type back here in a Tom Brady offense, a guy that could get the double-digit touchdown. Because, like you said, Joe, there's a lot of guys now here, especially if LeSean McCoy sticks it, you know, through training camp, if he makes the cut, if he makes the roster, which it is a small deal. We should point that out. It was a one-year, $1 million contract. So certainly not guaranteed to be on the roster after August. But, you know, if you're taking Jones, you're just hoping that he gets to somewhere close to 200 carries. He was about 170 carries last year. And he gets that goal line work. He did convert 6 touchdowns last year. But like you said, Peyton Barber was also factoring in down the goal line. You know, we know Tom Brady's offenses, you know, they've always had the hurry up back, the passing down back. James White has kind of filled that role the last couple years. I think Dare Ogunbowale is a little bit of the favorite here. Early camp reports are that he's been kind of doing that job. So I feel like this backfield's going to be kind of splintered. And Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, he's losing some reps here early in camp. Since he's on the COVID-19 list here. So, you know, he's falling behind. He's a rookie. He didn't get a lot of reps in the summer months here. So maybe he's going to be kind of like the Rex Burkhead type in this backfield. So I'm not, you know, the Patriots backfield was one that I didn't really, you know, screw around with too much. And it looks like the Bucs backfield is going to be the same thing here.
To play devil's advocate, though, the Patriots backfield always ended up having somebody who was valuable. A couple years ago, LeGarrette Blount, when he had like that 16 touchdown season, James White over the years, you know, he's been a guy catching passes. Deion Lewis a couple of years ago when he was catching passes.
Yeah, heck, so even Michelle got the double digit touchdowns, I think, the, you know, 2 years ago. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's been, you're right on the money, Joe. There is some value if you play it right. And if you get the right value, I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, all of a sudden like. My thing is, coming off of this news, I was fine taking Ronald Jones in the eighth or ninth round. His price is not going to be there anymore. He's going to start climbing into the sixth round here, probably. Maybe the seventh round, but his price is going to start going up. Maybe it's time to start looking towards Keyshawn Vaughn. Maybe if his price is going to fall here a little bit.
Yeah, I was talking to Scott Barrett and Graham Barfield last night, and I said, if Vaughn starts falling into that Zach Moss range, like that 9th, 10th, 11th round range, I'll start to take some flyers on him. And I'll be honest, like, even in best ball, every once in a while, there are probably worse picks you could make than taking McCoy in the 18th round. Like, just to say, hey, you know, Bruce Arians came out and said, this guy's going to play on passing downs. We know the Chiefs thought he was cooked, but Ogunbowale did nothing well last year aside from pass block.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though he played on virtually every third down, he didn't contribute for fantasy. So, I mean, there is, in theory, a role for McCoy to have here. So that's probably where I'm more likely to go. As unexciting as drafting LeSean McCoy would be, in the last round or two of your best ball draft, I think there are also worse picks you can make.
Yeah, we'll have to continue to listen to the news here, you know, see just how McCoy is performing in camp here. It is a small deal, but at the 18th, you know, that's your sixth or seventh back if you're playing best ball, you know, even in a redraft format. You know, it's just a total late flyer here. And, you know, they've been hesitant, like you said, to completely give Ronald Jones the job last year. Peyton Barber was a big factor. So, you know, maybe there is a little bit of room here for McCoy to maybe, you know, step up and claim the job. But I'll hold my breath on that one. He's had some good opportunities the last couple of years. And, you know, he flamed out in Kansas City. Damian Williams was dominating that backfield by the end of the year. He was a regular healthy scratch at times. So, you know, he's kind of getting past his prime here. Maybe he can turn back the clock. Maybe Brady will be looking for a veteran back there that, you know, can pick up the, you know, his type of offense quick. But, you know, this backfield, it's going to be a bit of a headache all season long at the end of the day.
Let's talk about a couple of opt-outs, Tom, that have some the implications for fantasy. Well, the Miami Dolphins this week lose two wideouts to opt-outs. Now, you might have completely forgotten that Allen Hurns was even on this team, but Allen Hurns opted out, and so did Albert Wilson, who is a good player who's just had a lot of injury and availability problems. So those two guys opt out. This is one of the thinnest groups of receivers in the entire NFL. You have DeVante Parker, who just got extended. Preston Williams, who's coming off an ACL, and they are, it looks like they think he could be ready for week one. He's one of my favorite double-digit round picks at the wide receiver position. And then you got Jakeem Grant. You got Isaiah Ford, who caught 23 passes last year, kind of a slot receiver out of Virginia Tech. You got Gesicki, the tight end, who basically was a slot receiver last year. Tom, what are you doing with this receiving corps?
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I've been attacking Preston Williams late, you know, about the 13th round or so. He's usually available around 140 to 160 picks in the draft. So he's been a guy that I've been regularly targeting. And, you know, there's positive reports. Miami Herald last night had a report that they're cautiously optimistic that he'll be able to start the season in week one. You know, he got cleared for football activities earlier this week. He wasn't placed on the PUP list. So good signs there. Maybe he gets out of the gate a little bit slow, but big expectations for him. But like you said, Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson, those are two slot receivers. You know, you might not think of Hurns as a slot receiver, but he's, you know, played it quite a bit over the years, and he's kind of a versatile outside inside receiver. But Jakeem Grant will probably step up into that slot position. You know, that he's played that role for a little bit. He's been more of a gadget player throughout his career, but he's going to be counted on here. And I think, you know, Mike Gesicki's going to be, you know, probably right up there near the top of the list. He led all tight ends in slot rate last year. I think he was up around 71-72%. You know, new offense here, Chan Gailey calling plays. He's done that in the past. He likes to move his tight ends around. You know, he's a guy I haven't been very warm on here, but maybe I'll have to second guess it here if they're going to be so thin at receiver. Gesicki is starting to look a little bit better here.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are people who love Gesicki for fantasy. There are people who don't. We probably fall more into the latter. I don't think I'm as down on him as John Hansen is, but this is a really interesting spot here, Tom, because you would think this is a worse team for fantasy if Tua starts at quarterback at some point. So there are so many variables going in here with the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is. It's a group that's unsettled here. We, you know, have no idea. I would guess Fitzpatrick starts the year, but it's not going to be long until Tua takes over. Expectations have to be severely lowered for these receivers if Tua's in the lineup. You know, Fitzpatrick's been one of the friendliest, you know, fantasy quarterbacks for receivers over the last couple of years. He's not afraid to wing it. He'll throw it downfield aggressively. He'll take chances. Tua's the complete opposite type of player. You know, he's a quick rhythm passer, gets the ball out quick. So, you know, they're not going to be taking as many deep shots, and overall, the ceiling for fantasy is a little bit lower with Tua in the lineup. You know, maybe eventually down the line, you know, it's a better move. But I would have to temper expectations for my receivers playing with Tua right out of the gate.
Tom, let's go to a piece of really encouraging news. And this is from the Washington Post. But Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, said that he is, quote, pleasantly surprised at Alex Smith's recovery from his leg injury. And also, he is entering the conversation to compete for the starting job here. Now, I think it's 95% that Dwayne Haskins is the week one starting quarterback for Washington. That being said, it probably is worth noting that we are not talking about Alex Smith. And, you know, this is somebody who, maybe if he doesn't contribute to Washington, could be appealing to somebody on the trade market if he proves to be healthy. I can't believe he's playing football again. Just amazing that he's in that position. But Tom, any thoughts here with Alex Smith?
No, I mean, it's something I'll be keeping an eye on. I kind of feel bad for the guy that, you know, no preseason games this year. You know, it could have been a way for him to showcase himself a little bit, maybe garner some interest on the trade market. But, you know, they're going to go with Dwayne Haskins to start the season. No matter, I mean, he would have to fall flat on his face for them to consider Alex Smith, I think. You know, the Washington football team is, you know, building for the future here. It's a young nucleus. Ron Rivera just got the job. You know, they're planning ahead here. Alex Smith, he's a 36-year-old quarterback. You know, has had a nice career. You know, could be the top backup here, but they need to plan for the future. They need to find out this year if Haskins is the guy. If not, they, you know, very likely are going to have another high pick next year. So, you know, this is a make or break year for Haskins, and I think they're going to give him as big a leash as he needs here to find out just exactly what they have.
Tom, we officially get word that Antonio Brown has been suspended for 8 games from the NFL for violation of the personal conduct policy. We don't even know what violation this one is because there's a ton of them. I still think he's viable in best ball late, but any team that signs Antonio Brown at this point has to wait at least 8 games. Season long, it's going to be much harder to hold him on your roster, especially if you need extra spots for COVID positives, which, well, who the hell knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah, and, you know, they even said that he, you know, he's subject to more, you know, a longer suspension depending on the outcomes of the cases down in Florida here. So, yeah, best ball only for me, real late. I haven't really dabbled with it. I know Scott Barrett's really into it. You know, I'd rather take my shots on, you know, we were just talking about the Washington football team, like a guy like Steve Sims. You know, somebody that I know is going to be contributing for, you know, a potential for 16 games over Brown. I don't know what if he can even play football at a high level anymore. You know, it's been basically 2 years, so I trust that he's still probably one of the best. He's a fanatic. He's a lunatic, you know, in terms of workout. So I would think that he's still in pretty good football shape and ready to go. But I'd rather go for the more certainty at the position here, especially since we have no idea how this season is going to play out here, especially early in the year. So, you know, I want guys that are going to play right away early in the season. You know, a guy like Deebo Samuel, who has a potential to miss a few games at the start of the season. You know, normal year, maybe I'd go after them. But this year, you know, I want guys that are going to play right away and get me fantasy points. We have no idea how long the season's going to be, if there's going to be, you know, missed games at all. So I want guys that are going to produce from day one. So Antonio Brown hasn't been on my radar too much.
Tom, we're going to talk about the AFC North betting previews, and there's some really interesting there. We also have some news from the AFC North we're going to get to there. But first, well, you know, we talked about it at the top of the podcast. The sports are coming back. It's so great to be mad at them. And so why don't you get on Tilt? Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball has kicked off, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners at BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. They've got NHL, NBA, MLB, obviously some NFL futures, PGA. Tom and I are going to be watching that in a little bit. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Big Shot Bob Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Pandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Tom, the AFC North is going to be one of the most competitive divisions in all of professional football this year. And for sure, the favorite, though maybe not overwhelmingly so, well, I guess it is kind of overwhelming by the numbers, is the Baltimore Ravens with an 11-win total, minus 115 to the over, minus 225 to win what I think is going to be a pretty competitive division, minus 715 to make the playoffs, plus 320 to win the AFC, plus 650 to win the Super Bowl. Oh boy, those are short Super Bowl odds in this kind of a season. Tom, what's your read on the Baltimore Ravens? Unless I'm a Ravens fan, I sure as hell don't think I'm betting them plus 650 to win the Super Bowl in this crazy season.
Yeah, I think it is warranted, though. I from top to bottom, I think this is the best roster in football. You know,
how much does it hurt you to say that, by the way?
It does, but, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, but I admire the Ravens franchise, the way they've run it here the last 15 to 20 years with Harbaugh. They're always right there, and this is a roster that's, you know, they had a ton of picks, and it was the best team in the regular season last year, and they went out and made it better. They have a quarterback that's on a rookie contract. The defense had issues. They weren't major issues, but they had troubles stopping the run at times. So they went out and got Calais Campbell, Derek Wolf, and Patrick Queen, three guys that are going to make this defense better right away. Starters immediately. We love their backfield. They go out and get J.K. Dobbins in the second round. You know, they've reloaded here. And, I never really look for teams with this kind of short odds, especially a team that is probably going to come back to the pack a little bit. It was a special year for them. They kind of caught everybody off guard with, Lamar Jackson running wild. But this is the roster. I think the Chiefs are probably the best team right now just because of Patrick Mahomes. But the overall talent from top to bottom on the roster, I think, is the best in the league.
So let's go to a piece of news that we got this week, Tom, and I want to talk about prop bets involving it. Marquise Brown of the Baltimore Ravens, the wide receiver, 800.5 receiving yards over under, plus 8,000 to lead the NFL in receiving. Now, it's not a secret that Brown was basically hurt all year last year. And on top of that, he was built like a middle schooler. I mean, he's weighing in at like 157 pounds. Well, 180 he's up to. He put on 23 pounds of muscle this offseason. He says he feels great. Normally, I'd kind of get worried about a skill player who's built on speed putting on 23 pounds, but not somebody who was built like Marquise Brown was built last year. He's still at 180, which is impossibly light for an NFL player, but look, he's never going to be Mike Evans. We know that. What does this news do to you with Marquise Brown, Tom, who admittedly is my single most drafted player in all of fantasy thus far?
Yeah, it's him and another guy. We'll touch on a couple of team previews for now. They're going right around each other in the sixth, seventh round. But Brown, I was feeling pretty good about it. The news came out a little bit after I put up this, my article. I have it as a lean towards the 800 and a half over the total here. I'm kind of expecting the Ravens to throw it a bit more. Of course, they led the league in rushing last year. I think it was the all-time best season, as a matter of fact, in terms of team rushing yards. So you only can go down from there. I would be stunned if they set the record in back-to-back years. So and for the health of Lamar, they can't be running them, a ton. They need to cut back a little bit. That's actually one of my favorite other bets is, Lamar Jackson. It's 975 rushing yards, which, it would take a truly historic season for him to do it again. He was the first passer to throw for 3,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards. So, I'm expecting him to have the ball in his hands a little bit more. The wide receiving core is a little bit more filled out. They drafted Devin Duvernay, and Marquise Brown is actually going to be healthy here and playing a full allotment of snaps. And Mark Andrews is another year older here and probably going to have a bigger role. So, yeah, I'm with you here. I'm expecting bigger things from the Ravens passing game this year, and especially Marquise Brown. He's been a favorite of mine in the sixth round as well.
So just really quickly, Tom, we have some big time staff disagreements on J.K. Dobbins, and I've been drafting him a lot in best ball because I kind of like him in that sixth, seventh round range where, you're looking for an RB3 with some upside who might be able to come on late in the season. But I also understand the argument that there's a chance he doesn't really do anything this year. Maybe average 5 or 6 carries a game, which isn't going to contribute anything for fantasy because Mark Ingram is still there and he was effective last year. But you put a wager down on Dobbins to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at plus 2,800. I mean, that's a pretty juicy number if you put $10 on that. And heck, I mean, if Ingram gets hurt early in the year, you could see Dobbins running for 1,200, 1,300 yards. And what's your feeling with him for fantasy, though? Because I understand both sides of the argument.
Yeah, that's almost like a little hedge against him in for fantasy. I haven't been drafting him too much, to be completely honest. That that sixth, seventh round range is, you know, my time to take receivers. There's a bunch of receivers I love in that range, a bunch of wide receiver threes. So I'm usually attacking that position during the draft. But Dobbins, you know, the reason I put it down, that was a bet that I put in May 7th. I have no idea actually what the odds are still, but that's kind of a bet there. If, you know, Ingram isn't quite right, you know, he did slow down a bit at the end of last year, had the calf issue, wasn't completely right. You know, he is entering his 30s here. The mileage is starting to tick up. And, you know, there's a possibility of him slowing down or just getting hurt. So if Dobbins gets the chance to be the lead runner here, it's the best, you know, it was the best rushing attack in NFL history last year. Put a rookie in that situation, you know, a chance to maybe get 15 carries a game. You know, he has huge upside potential, and that's why you've been drafting him, Joe, in the sixth round. Like, if he gets this job on his own, he could be an RB1 with, you know, it's not a hard outcome to see him being a top flight running back if he gets that runway to be the lead runner.
I mean, this is a discussion to have another day, Tom, but like my argument for him is if Mark Ingram disappears, you're taking him in the second round.
Yes.
So that's my argument for him. Like, it's just like with Cleveland, who we're going to get to, if Kareem Hunt disappears, Nick Chubb's a top five pick. If Nick Chubb disappears, Kareem Hunt's a top five pick. So, you know, it's just one of those things you have to make a wager and understand, okay, what is the upside here? Tom, let's get to the worst team in professional football last year, the Cincinnati Bengals. They go 2-14. However, what was interesting about them, first and foremost, most interesting thing is they get Joe Burrow. Yes. Joe Burrow arrives to the club, the quarterback. Tom, they were 2-14 last year, but I believe they had a lead at some point in 12 of their 16 games, and they went 2-14. Positive regression alert.
I positive love that stat, Joe. I wish I had that in my article. That's a great one. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
It's either 11 or 12, but it's a lot. Tom, their win total is 5.5. Now there's minus juice to the over at minus 125. They're plus 2,000 to win the AFC North. I don't think people are going to think they're winning the division just yet. I got to be honest, I kind of like this. Plus 625 to make the playoffs, plus 5,000 to win the AFC. I'm not going to be betting that. And plus 10,000 to win the Super Bowl. But Tom, this is a team that I think you would argue, I would argue, They had too much talent to go 2-14 last year, and that stat that they had a lead in 12 of their 16 games kind of shows that. AJ Green's back. They bring in Joe Burrow. Jonah Williams, the left tackle's back. I think this is a team that has the opportunity to turn completely around this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Joe. You know, I have the stat there. They were 0-8 in one score games. So yeah, they had leads. They were competitive in a lot of games. I remember, you know, playing them a lot for ATS when I would make my against the spread picks when I pick every game, and you know, they were pretty good for me. You know, they were competitive in a lot of games. Now they get the best quarterback in the draft, the best, you know, quarterback in, you know, single season. You know, he was unbelievable last year at LSU. Steps into the lineup. He should be pretty ready to go. They cleared out the QB depth chart. They released Andy Dalton. So this is his show from day one. The cupboard is not bare with AJ Green coming back. John Ross played well in spurts last year. Tyler Boyd out of the slot. You know, he's going to be his new Justin Jefferson. They draft T. Higgins in the second round. So there is a lot to like about this offense. It's all going to come down to that offensive line. It was one of the worst groups in the league last year. They get their first-round pick from 2019 back in the lineup in Jonah Williams. So hopefully he solidifies that left tackle spot. It was a bit of a trouble area for them last year. I believe they, you know, were rotating Cordy Glenn and other guys at that position. And, you know, it just wasn't working out for them. So at the end of the day, it's going to come down to this defense. It was a pretty solid defense for, you know, they had a nice run there in the mid 2010s there. You know, they've totally lost a lot of the talent there. You know, Geno Atkins is still around, but not a whole lot else. So they did attack it though. In the off season, they spent a little bit of money. They bring in DJ Reader, Trey Waynes, Von Bell, Mackenzie Alexander. So, some guys with some high pedigrees here. Maybe, you know, we're not expecting them to be a top 10 unit, but You know, if they're closer to the 20th best unit than, you know, the 31st best unit, that will have big dividends for their, you know, the 5.5 win total here.
Tom, what am I missing here? Why aren't Joe Burrow's odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year shorter than plus 400?
There probably are now. That was, you know, it was 400 earlier this year in May. I think the last time I looked, you know, before I posted the article, you know, it was sitting around plus 300. You don't want to forget, Joe.
That, not that bad.
You don't want to forget, though, this guy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, has a pretty nice runway now. So,
good point,
yeah,
Tom.
Damian Williams, you know, kind of opting out there. His odds, I think he was sitting around plus 700, plus 800. He's down to, like, plus 500 now. So, it's, you know, heading into the season, it looks like it could be a two-man race. But yeah. Burrow, you know, if they have a 4 or 5 win improvement, a 2-win team last year, puts up, you know, pretty good numbers. You know, he has a really good chance of winning it. You know, the quarterbacks always have a leg up on these type of awards.
Hey, Tom, by now you might have heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, practice squads, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPOINTS, one word, to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. Tom, are we going to fall for the Kool-Aid with the Cleveland Browns again? Because last year I was in. I thought they had a ton of talent. I liked what I saw at the end of the 2018 season. And then Freddie Kitchens was in over his head. But now I feel like they've gotten a stable coach there with Kevin Stefanski, who runs a modern NFL offense with that 12 personnel. I think Baker Mayfield is going to bounce back. The markets have Cleveland as over under 8.5 wins, minus juice to the over. People are betting on the Browns to win 9 games this year. AFC North at plus 500, plus 128 to make the playoffs, minus 155 to miss, plus 1800 to win the AFC Championship, and plus 4000 to win the Super Bowl. Tom, those odds are shorter than I thought.
Yeah, people are buying back in. They had another great offseason. You know, the biggest weakness was the offensive line, and they get the best offensive tackle on the market and Jack Conklin, and draft Jedrick Wills to play left tackle for them. You know, the tackle spots were horrendous for them last year. So, you know, it's a roster that is looking stronger here. You know, they bring in a competent coach. I think, you know, Stefanski is pretty, you know, well-liked around the league. There's high expectations for him. He's kind of, you know, Freddie Kitchens was like a laid-back, you know, Southern boy running the offense. And, you know, Stefanski comes from Ivy League. He's a Penn grad. He's like a no-nonsense, you know, very disciplined type of guy. So, and that's probably what this team and this organization needs. They have the longest playoff drought right now going in the league. It's been 17 years since they reached the postseason. So they need some discipline. And I think Stefanski's going to bring it, but is it going to, you know, get them into the playoffs? This is an awfully tough AFC North. The Ravens were the best team in the regular season last year. Steelers managed to go 8-8 last year with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph at quarterback. And I think the Bengals are going to be, you know, very improved from last year. So, you know, this is not an easy division to get to 9 wins here.
No, no doubt about that, Tom. I was really surprised by some of these odds. Mayfield, by the way, 24.5 touchdowns projection. Now, what was it? 22 touchdowns, 21 picks last year. We have him for 28 touchdowns up at fantasypoints.com. I just think a more stable offense is going to go a long way for Baker.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see if, you know, this is a year of continuity here. This is, you know, this has been the fourth different offense, fourth different coaching staff that he's been under since, you know, coming out of Oklahoma. So this is, you know, we'll see how the offense gels here. They do have a couple cupcakes after, you know, they have the Ravens week one, probably going to be a loss there, but they have games against the Bengals and Redskins, the Washington football team, at home here in weeks 2 and 3. So that they need to get the offense rolling pretty quickly here. They have
confidence.
Yeah, they have some spots where maybe they can get some confidence there. If they don't, if they slip up in one of those weeks, the schedule gets a lot tougher after that against the Cowboys, Colts, and Steelers. So it's imperative for this offense to get clicking through the first 3 weeks of the season. Or it could be another long year in Cleveland, or at least the sense of dread could start hanging over this organization again if they get off to a slow start in those first couple games.
Let's go to Yin's boys, Tom. The Pittsburgh Steelers here. I went on the record, Tom, very aggressively on the record last year, that I thought the trade of Minkah Fitzpatrick was a disaster. I'm like, why are you trading your first round pick when you're 0-2 and you just lost your franchise quarterback? Well, part of me was right there, Tom, because the quarterback play after Ben Roethlisberger went down was a disaster. Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges were miserable for Pittsburgh last year. However, Minkah Fitzpatrick comes in and he, with TJ Watt there, all of a sudden turned this into an elite defense once again. It's been kind of a long time since the Steelers have had that elite defense. They managed to go 8-8 with the worst quarterback play in the NFL. So I wonder if there's a little bit of value here on the Steelers at -121 to go over 9 wins, +350 to win the AFC North, -137 to make the playoffs. So the markets think they're a good bet to make the playoffs, +1,200 to win the AFC, +2,500 to win the Super Bowl. But Tom, all of these odds rest firmly on the elbow of Ben Roethlisberger, who apparently tore 3 of the 5 flexor tendons. He did not have Tommy John surgery. Tom, I didn't even realize you had more than one flexor tendon until Ben Roethlisberger said that, and he tore 3 of them last year. There is a lot riding on the health of Ben Roethlisberger here because they did not upgrade the backup quarterback.
No, they didn't. They're all putting on his shoulders here. He did seem pretty motivated here. You know, he seems locked in heading into the season. There was the pictures floating around earlier in the offseason, him looking quite robust. He had the full beard going on, but it looks like he's turned the ignition on here. The last couple months, he showed up into great shape, showed up to camp in great shape. So, he looks locked in. And I think there is a little bit of value in the market, Joe. We've seen it all summer long in the fantasy markets. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, those guys are, late third, early fourth round picks. Years past, those types of positions, they would be, second round picks. Deontay Johnson's been a great value in the seventh, eighth round. And Ben Roethlisberger himself, he's routinely going in drafts as, around 150 picks in. Guy was the QB3 the last time we saw him in 2018. Did have Antonio Brown with him, but, it's still a really good receiving core. They bring in Eric Ebron as well this offseason. So, I'm feeling pretty good about the Steelers offense getting back on track. And now they have the defense. Like you said, they had a pretty strong defense the last couple years, but they weren't forcing turnovers. They weren't getting to the quarterback. That changed in a big way last year with J.J. Watt getting to the T.J. Watt getting to the quarterback and Fitzpatrick making plays in the secondary. So now they have one of the elite defenses in the league and the potential to have a top 10 type of offense if Roethlisberger's, just 90% of what we saw from him in 2018.
Yeah, so Tom, I want to talk about Deontay Johnson. He had, sports hernia surgery, groin surgery in the offseason. He's lined at 775.5 receiving yards, We have him to go way over that at 955. You have that as one of your best bets. What's your feeling on Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, I think he's just getting kind of slept on in drafts here. I mean,
you know, it looked like early, not sorry to interrupt, but it looked like early the hype was going to like push him into like the fifth round. And I think John Hansen's guilty of a lot of that hype. But it looked like that hype was going to skyrocket him where I'm like, all right, whoa. But he's kind of hung around in that seventh, eighth round range.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at it, everything tells you that he's going to explode. I mean, I don't know if you know this, Joe, but he actually led rookies in receptions last year. You know, he's playing with, you know, Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. The Steelers had the worst passing attack, basically, in the league. They were averaging 185 yards a game. Awful average yards per attempt. It was just a bad passing game. And he still caught 59 passes, and he was right up there, you know, as one of the most elusive receivers, created the most yards in terms of separation, 3.6 in the league. And he forced the most missed tackles. He was tied with Deebo Samuel in that category. So this guy is slippery, hard to defend. And, you know, as someone that has watched a lot of Steelers football over the years, Ben Roethlisberger loves throwing to his perimeter receivers when they're in one-on-one situations. That, you know, it's always been that way. Manuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown the last, 6 to 8 years. So, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get a lot of action out of the slot, but Ben is going to, as long as that arm strength is still there, Ben is going to throw it to the perimeter whenever his receiver's in one-on-one situations. And, I mean, Deontay was one of the best at creating separation. So, I would expect, pretty healthy catch and receiving yard totals for Deontay Johnson this season.
Tom, the big cat has teed off, so I'm going to wrap up this podcast really quick. Nice. Make sure you go to fantasypoints.com to check out all of Tom's betting previews with way more information than we've given you here. Go to fantasypoints.com to check out all of our strategy articles, John Hansen's draft plan, our target articles are up. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers go up today on Thursday. Tight ends will go up tomorrow. We're going to have our players to avoid up there. And then we're going to start getting into some auction content next week. It is all coming down the pipe at fantasypoints.com. Make sure you subscribe. Get your standard package if you're just interested in season long. But if you want Tom's betting previews, you got to subscribe to the premium package. For Tom Browley, follow him on Twitter at Tom Browley. My name is Joe Dolan at FG_Dolan on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Tom and I will be back next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.